What I'd like to study today is the Gemara about Shivasa B'Tammuz, which is on Chaf Ches Amid Beis. It's about halfway down the Amud, and the first word in the line is Gomer. Chamisha Dvarim Iru Es Avoseinu B'Shivasa B'Tammuz. Are you able to find that? Chaf Ches Amid Beis. It's a little bit more than halfway down the Amud.
Yeah, I have it.
Okay. So this is a famous Mishnah. There were five things that happened on the 17th of Tammuz. Number one, Mishtabru al Luchos. Number two is Batel Atomid. Number three is Huvka Ha'ir. In other words, they broke through the siege around Jerusalem. Saraf Apas Thomas Es HaTorah Vehemid Selam Vehechal. And we'll see that was Menashe. So the Gemara goes through each one of these five and tries to prove that they occurred on the 17th of Tammuz. Number one, Nishtabru al-Luchos, Minolan, how do we know that took place on the 17th of Tammuz? The sign we learned in a Braisa. We have a Machlokes Tanoim, exactly when the Aseres HaDibros were given, and either on the following day, or on that day itself, Moshe Rabbeinu goes up to the mountain to receive the Luchos. So the first man, the Omer, the Tanakama holds, B'shisha l'chodesh nitnu aseres hadibros liYisrael. On the 6th of Sivan, we received the aseres hadibros, and on the following day, which would be the 7th of Sivan, Moshe Rabbeinu climbs the mountain. Rabbi Yossi Omer b'shiva bo, according to Rabbi Yossi, the Dibros were given on the 7th of Sivan, and then and then on that day itself, Moshe Rabbeinu goes up to the mountain. Mandi Omar, according to the Tanakama, Bishisha Nitnu, Ubishiva Ola Moshe. The Tanakama holds that the Aseres HaDibros were given on the 6th of Sivan, and on that day, that's all that took place. And on the following day, Moshe Rabbeinu climbs the mountain to receive the Luchos. So, Mandi Omer, according to Rabbi Yossi, B'Shiva, on the 7th of Sivan, the Luchos, the Dibros were given, and B'Shiva Nitnu U'B'Shiva Ola Moshe, on that very same day, Moshe climbed the mountain to receive the Luchos. Dechsiv, regarding Matan Torah, the Torah tells us at the end of Parshas Mishpatim, Vayikra El Moshe Vayom Hashvi Mitoch Ha'anan. So on the 7th of the month, God calls out to Moshe and commands him to ascend the mountain. And that's clear. That's Vayom Hashvi. Uksiv. And the next pasuk says, Vayom Moshe Mitoch Ha'anan. Moshe enters into the cloud, Vayal El Hahar, and he climbs the mountain. Vayhi Moshe Bahar, Arbaim Yom, Varbaim Laila. So if we calculate the amount of days, 40 days and 40 nights, starting with the 7th of Sivan, then as the Gemara is going to work it out, it turns out that 40 days after the 7th of Sivan is on the 17th of Tammuz. And everybody agrees that Moshe Rabbeinu, there's no machlokas, went up the mountain on the 7th of Sivan. Exactly when the Dibros were given, that's a machlokas, Shin Tanakama and Rabbi Yossi. The Gemara on Shabbos goes through the different shitos and the calculations. But Esrim V'Arba de Sivan, from the 7th of Sivan, when Moshe first ascended the mountain, until the end of the month of Sivan, and the month of Sivan is called the Chodesh Moli. It has 30 days. So we calculate 24 days after the 7th of Sivan. And we end up at the beginning of Tammuz. Vishitzar. And add to the 24 days of Sivan, 16 days of Tammuz. So 24 plus 16 is 40. Molole Arboim. And now we get to the round number 40 days and 40 nights that Moshe was up on the mountain. Therefore, b'shivsar b'tamuz, on the 17th of Tammuz, nochis, Moshe Rabbeinu comes down from the mountain, osa, he comes into the Machne Yisrael, he sees the eagle that's being worshipped, tavrinu leluchos, and he breaks the luchos. Uksiv, and the pasuk says, vayika sher karav, ela machaneh vayaris ha-egel u'mecholos, vayicharaf Moshe, vayashlech miyodov es ha-luchos, vayishabros ha-mtachas ha-har. And that gives us the 17th of Tammuz. So that's when Moshe breaks the luchos. Next, Batel HaTomid, Gemara, it's a Kabbalah Me'avoseinu. In other words, we really have no proof that the Tomid, the last Tomid to be brought was on the 16th of Tammuz, 17th of Tammuz already was Batel HaTomid, and that's based on a Kabbalah. Next, Hufkar Ir, the enemies broke through the walls that surrounded Yerushalayim and they entered into the city. And the Gemara says, did that really happen on the 17th of Tammuz? In fact, it happened on the 9th of Tammuz. Vaksiv, with regard to Nebuchadnezzar, that's Bayis Rishon, it says that the siege around Jerusalem, Bachodesh Arvi B'Tishla Chodesh, on the 4th month, now, Tammuz is called the 4th month if we start from Nisan, Nisan Iyar Sivan Tammuz, B'tisha l'chodesh, on the 9th day of the month, v'yachzaka ra'av ba'ir, and the famine was very tough, lo'hoya lechem le'amoritz, u'ksiv basrei, and immediately it says afterwards, v'tiboka ir. So we see that on the 9th of Tammuz, which is my birthday, by the way, that's when they broke through the siege. Omar Ravalo Kasha. There's no stira between the Brisa that calculates the 9th of Tammuz and our Mishnah that sets it down on the 17th of Tammuz. It depends which bias you're talking about. Kan Barishona, Enochinami, with regard to the Nebuchadnezzar, breaking through the siege of Jerusalem took place on the 9th of Tammuz. And that's bias Rishon. Kan, our Mishnah is talking about Churban Bayis Sheni. Desanya, as we look to the Brisa, Rishona Hufka Ir B'Tisha B'Tammuz U'B'Shnia B'Shivasar Bo. And now it's the famous Kasha. So why do we fast on the 17th of Tammuz for the Churban Bayis Sheni and not on the 9th of Tammuz for the Churban Bayis Rishon? And in the note here, he quotes the Ritva. The Ritva says they didn't want to institute two fast days in the same month, namely Tammuz, 9 and 17, when both are about the Hafkas Ha'ir, just that one is about the first bias and the second bias. Why did they choose the second bias? Because it's relatively new, so to speak. It's closer to our time period, and furthermore, it's Chomor V'Koshalem Yosef and Arishon. Because the Churban Bayis Sheni lasts and still lasts today. And therefore, they commemorate the breaking through the siege of Yerushalayim into the walls of Yerushalayim on the 17th of Tammuz at this time of the second Churban. What else happened on the 17th? Sarif Apostomos Es HaTorah and Gemara. This also is a matter of Kabbalah. Apostomus was one of the Greek officers during the Bayis Sheni period, and there's a machlokas exactly where he burnt the Sefer Torah, whether it was in the Geshe Shel Lud, whether it was Geshe Shel Tarlomusa. In any event, that took place on the 17th of Tammuz. Number 5, Hamid Menashe Tselem Behechal. Menashe was one of the kings of Judah, of Yehuda, in the first bias period. He brought Psalim into the Beis HaMikdash, a Pesel Menashe, and this is recorded in Malachim Beis, chapter Chaf Aleph. So the Gemara is bothered by this. Midolan, how do we know that the calendar date on which Menashe set up this tselem inside the Heichal of Beis HaMikdash was on the 17th of Tammuz. Dichsiv, because in the prophecy of Daniel regarding the Achris Hayomim, at the end of days, Daniel prophesizes, Umei Es Husar HaTamid Velaseis Shikutz Shomem. So this is the Gemara's answer to Minolan. Because the Pasuk indicates that after the Tamid was batel, Umei Es Husar HaTamid, then Shikutz, which is another word for the Selem, that's exactly on that same day it was placed in the Heichal. And since we have a Kabbalah that the Tamid was bought on the 17th of Tammuz, therefore the Tselem apparently was set up on that day, the 17th of Tammuz. The Gemara objects. V'chadhava, why does the Mishnah say Tselem in the singular, implying that there was only one Shikutz, Vaksiv, in Nevuas Daniel, about the Churban HaBayis, it says, V'al Kanaf Shikutzim Mishomem. The word Shikutzim is in the plural. Apparently there were at least a minimum of two tzlamim, of two getchkes, that Menashe set up in the Heichal. Amar Rav, the Gemara answers, Trei Havi, you're right, but one tzelem defeated the other tzelem. There was a battle between the two tzlamim. Nafal Chad al Chavre, one pounced upon the other, Betavrile Liyode, and he broke his arm. So in terms of a full tselem, there was only one tselem. Vishtakach daviksiv, and the pasuk is talking about the tselem sholem, and that tselem sholem, in a figurative sense, speaks to the broken armed tselem, here on the top of Chavtes. Ant tzavis lechurve beisa, you wanted to destroy the Beis Hashem by alluring the people of Israel to worship you, therefore Yodcha Ashlimas Le, I will avenge you are causing Hatoyas Yisrael Achrecha, and I'm going to pay you back by breaking off your arm. So that in truth there were two tzlamim, as the Pasuk says Shikutzim, but the Pasuk that uses the singular Shikutz, that's addressing the Tzelem Sholem, the complete Geshke, v'lo hichshiv et zeh shenishbar yado, and the one that had a broken arm is not considered. This has to do with the laws of idols and avodah zarah, where if you break off a piece of a Tzelem, it's not called a Tzelem anymore. That's bittel. Now we get to Tisha B'Av. The Mishnah records that Tisha B'Av Nigzar al Voseinu Shalei Konsula Aretz, the divine decree after the Chet Meraglim was that the people of Israel would not enter the land. Minola, how do we know that this Gzera, that the entire generation of Yotze Mitzrayim in the Midbar would perish during the Midbar period, and that Gzera was enacted on the 9th of Av? And the Gemara answers that if we go through the times, the actual calendar dates of all the events that took place in the Midbar up until the Maisa Meraglim, we'll be able to calculate that this Gzera was on the 9th of Av, Dichsiv. With regard to HaKomas HaMishkan, so now we're going back to Sefer Shmos, to Perek Mem, Vayehi B'Chodesh HaRishon B'Shana Sheinis Pechad L'Chodesh Hukam HaMishkan. So we're talking about Chodesh HaRishon, which is Nisan, and it's the second year after Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's the first of the month, so we're talking about Rosh Chodesh Nisan of the second year of Yetzias Mitzrayim. The Omar Mar, and we have a statement in the name of one of the Chachamim, an anonymous Chacham, that Shana Rishon, on the first year after the Exodus from Mitzrayim, also Moshe HaMishkan. So during that first year, Moshe began to collect the contributions on the very day after Yom Kippur, and the Asiyas HaMishkan was complete on the 25th of Kislev, which is the first day of Chanukah. And yet the Mishkan was still folded up, so to speak. It wasn't erected yet until Rosh Chodesh Nisan. That's Teves Shvat Adar until 3 months later. B'Shni on the second year, Hikim Moshe Es HaMishkan. Okay, and that is on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, which is the beginning of the second year. So it was a full year after the Exodus. And there's a long discussion about why they couldn't erect the Mishkan on the 25th of Kislev. V'Sholach Meraglim. And now we have to figure out exactly on what day Moshe Rabbeinu sent the Meraglim. And it certainly is clear from the Psukim that the Meraglim was sent out after the Hakamas HaMishkan. But exactly when, after the Hakamas HaMishkan, were the Meraglim sent out? And the Meraglim took 40 days until they returned. Ksiv, with regard to Bnei Yisrael, when they left Har Sinai, Har Chorev, in Parshas Baloscha, it says, Vayihi Bashana Sheinis, in the second year, Bachodesh Hasheini, so now we're talking about Iyar, B'Esrim L'Chodesh, the 25th of Iyar, Nale Anon Me'al Mishkan Ha'edus, the Anon Yaakovah began to lift themselves up above the Mishkan, which meant that it was a simon to go out on the 20th of Iyar, on B'Esrim L'Chodesh. So we're on the 20th of the second month, in the second year, and it's time to pack out from the Masa, from the Mishkan Eidus. So now we're on the 20th of Iyar. Uksiv, and again in Parshas Baloscha, it says, Vayis'u mehar Hashem derech shloshes yomim. 3 days later, they left behind them, both literally and figuratively, the Har Hashem, where they received the Torah in Har Sinai. V'yomar Rabbi Chama Bar Chanina Oso Ayom, on that very day that they left behind them Har Sinai, Soru Me'achare Hashem. So Mehar means they deviated from the path of the Har Hashem. Uksiv. And that's why the Pasuk says a little bit later on in that same perek, it says, Vasafsuf asher bekirbo his avu taiva, vayashuvu vayivku gam b'nei Yisrael vayomer miyachilenu basar. So this is the famous fiasco of miyachilenu basar. And this was a merida in Hashem. That's called soru me'achare Hashem. And this was only 3 days after they left Har Sinai. I'm sorry. 3 days. Yeah, right. That is correct. Because they left Har Sinai on the 20th of Iyar. Uksiv. Then, after the people demanded, so to speak, Basar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu responded to their demands. And the Pasuk says, V'el ha'am tomaris kadoshu l'mochar v'achaltem basar lo yom echad tochum lo yomayim ad chodesh yomim ad asher yetze me'apchem v'ayol lechem lizara yan ki ma'astem es Hashem asher v'kir b'chem. So now, if we're saying that this entire rebellion about the Slav and so forth, the Basa, Miachilin and Basa, took place 3 days after they left after they started the Masa post Har Sinai, which the Masa began on the 20th of Iyar. So that leads us to the 23rd of Iyar. That's when their rebellion took place, and they were stuffing themselves with this meat of Slav for a full month. That leads us to Havilei Esrim V'Tartin V'Simon. Right, because you go from the 23rd of Iyar, 1 month is 23rd of Sivan. And that's 1 month after they left, or they, shall we say, they started their masa. Now there's a whole calculation how we come up with the 23rd of Sivan. He says that really a month after the 23rd of Iyar will lead you to the 22nd of Sivan. Because Saru Maher Me'achori Hashem was on the 21st, the 20th, the 21st, the 22nd of Iyar. And then if you fast forward by 30 days, you get to the 22nd of Sivan. But on the very next day, which was the 23rd of Sivan, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made that statement, and God brings them basar for a month, and that gives you 29 days, and there are 7 days, the 7 last days of Iyar, because again, they left the Masa on the 23rd of Iyar, so you add 7 days, you get to the 30th, and then you add 22 days of Sivan, so you add 22 of Sivan to the last 7 days of Iyar, that gives you 29 days. And then it says that Moshe, that Miriam spoke Lashon Hara about Moshe, and she gets stricken with Saras, and that takes place on the very next day. Uksiv, Vatisager Miriam Yichud Sabach Shivas Yomim. So now we're going to add 7 days to the 22nd of Sivan. 22nd and 7 is 29. Esri v'tisha b'Sivan. So that gives us the 29th of Sivan. Uksiv. And then immediately afterwards starts the parasha of Meraglim. And God tells Moshe Rabbeinu, Shlach lecha anoshim v'yasu es eretz Kanaan. And the Braisa records that b'esri v'tisha b'Sivan sholach Moshe es Meraglim. So on the 29th of Sivan, which follows the 3 days that they left Har Sinai plus the 40 days that the Basar came down, I'm sorry, the 30 days that the Basar came down, and then we had the 7 days of Miriam's Tzaras, and we end up calculating that Moshe Rabbeinu sent the Meraglim on the 29th of Sivan. Uksiv, the Meraglim returned, Vayashovu Misur Ha'aretz Miketz Arboim Yom, so there were 40 days on their scouting trip, beginning with the 29th of Sivan. And the Gemara is going to explain that if you add 40 days to the 29th of Sivan, then you end up on the 8th of Av. And the very next night, after the return of the Meraglim with the terrible description, etc., of Eretz Yisrael, Bachu Ha'am, the people cried, and they complained about the Yitzhiz Mitzrayim, to bring them into land, and then it says that God decreed they will not enter the land. And hence we arrive at the source of Tisha B'Av as the day in which God decreed that our forefathers would not enter the land. Now, the actual Gzerah took place the night after the Meraglim returned. Not on the day that they returned with their bad tale, but rather technically what would be the next day, because the night begins the next day. So the actual Gzerah of the death of the entire generation in the Midbar, without not being allowed to enter, took place on the 9th of Av, we saw in our Mishnah. So the Gemara now objects. The Cheshbon doesn't shtim. Why? According to this Cheshbon, Hani, these days, from the day in which the Meraglim was sent out until they came back on Erev Tishbav, Arboim Yom Nechei Chadahavu. It's 40 days minus one day. Why? Because if we assume that the Meraglim was sent out on the 29th, so then we have the 29th of Sivan, that's day one, then the 30th day of Sivan, and that gives, because Sivan is Mole, it's got 30 days, so we have 2 days in Sivan. Now Tammuz is Chaser, it only has 29 days. So if we add 29 days of Tammuz to the previous last 2 days of Sivan, then we're up to 31. Now, if we add another 8 days in the month of Av, because we now have 31, right? We had 2 plus 29 is 31, and we're adding 8, and we end up with 39 days. And that leads us to the 8th day of Av. So we're off by 1 day. Because from the day that the Meraglim was sent until the 8th of Av, there are only 39 days. And the Pasuk says, Vayeshuvu Misura Aretz Mikeis Arboim Yom, that there were 40 days. So it must be that the Meraglim must have come back on the 9th of Av, and the Gzeira was on the 10th of Av. And yet our Mishnah says, records that the Gzeira after the Meraglim was on the 9th of Av, but it really turns out to be the 10th of Av. Amar Abaye, that Tammuz was an exception to the rule. Normally, the rule is that Tammuz following a Mole, meaning Sivan is a Mole, Tammuz is a Chaser, because it always works like that. Mole, Chaser, Chaser, Mole. But Abai says that that Tammuz of that year, when the Meraglim was sent out, was an exceptional case of Maluye Malyua. They were Ma'aber, the month of Tammuz, making it a 30-day month. And therefore the Minyan, the calculation now, of 40 days, ends up on the 8th of Av. And Abai brings a Raya from Eicha, that the month of Tammuz in that year was actually a 30-day month. The Chsiv, regarding the Churban Beis HaMikdash, in the first chapter of Eicha, it says, Kara alai moed, lishbar bachuroi. And the word moed, we're going to darshan to mean Ibur HaChodesh. And we're going to make Tammuz into a Chodesh Me'ubar, which means we're going to add a 30th day to the month of Tammuz. Because the Ibur Chodesh is called a Moed. So the Meraglim came back on Erev Tisha B'Av, on the 8th of Tisha B'Av, and the crying of Bnei Yisrael was the following night on the 9th of Tisha B'Av, and that's when the Gzeira was Lishbar Bachurai. And that is an allusion to the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Now, how do we know that the Churban Beis HaMikdash took place on the very same day that God decreed that the generation of Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Dor HaMidbar, would not enter into the land? Uksiv, because the Pasuk says in Parshas Baal Loscha, after the Meraglim returned, and the Motzi Diba Ra on Eretz Yisrael, it says, Vatisa kol ha'eda, vayitnu es kol ha'vayivko ha'am balaylahu, Omar Rabba, Omar Rabbi Yochanan. This is one of the most famous drushes in Shas. Oso Laila, the night that they cried, Leil Tisha B'Av Haya, Omar Lema Kodesh Baruch Hu, Atem Bechisem Bechia Shel Chinam. You cried in vain because you accepted the words of the Meraglim. that there's no way that you could conquer the land and defeat the nations that occupy the land. You didn't rely on Hashem. Where was your bitachon? Ani koveh lechem b'chiyel udoros. I'll give you a reason to cry for all generations on this very night when the Beis HaMikdash will be Nechrav on the 9th of Av. Now the Gemara continues to clarify the source for all those terrible events that took place on Tisha B'Av. Chorav Bayis B'Rishona, the Churban Bayis Rishon took place on the 9th of Av D'Chsiv, Pasuk Malachim Beis, U'Bachodesh HaChamishi. Right, so we saw in Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, Tammuz, Av. So Av is the fifth month. B'Shiva LaChodesh, on the seventh day of Av, Hishnas Shasrei Shana LeMelech Nebuchadnezzar Melech Bavel, in the 19th year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, Ba Nevuzaradon, Rava Tabochim, Eved Melech, Bavel, he was the Eved of Nebuchadnezzar, his name was Nebuchadnezzar, Yerushalayim, he comes into Yerushalayim, Vayisrov, Es Beis Hashem. So it was Nebuchadnezzar who burnt the Beis HaMikdash. And that was on the 7th of Av. But what do we do with another pasuk? Uksiv, in Yirmiyahu HaNavi, it says, Vachodesh HaChamishi, again the month of Av, Besor LaChodesh, on the 10th of Av, Hishnas Che Yisrael LeMelech, Shana LeMelech, Nebuchadnezzar, Bal, Bozru, Zad, Rav, Tabach, Mamed, Lifnei, Melech, Bavel, B'Yushalayim, V'Yisrof, is Beis Hashem. So we see that the burning of the Beis HaMikdash took place on the 10th of Av. How do we reconcile this contradiction? Tanya, we learned it in Braisa. E'ef Shalomar, B'Shiva, it cannot be that the Beis HaMikdash was burnt on the 7th of Av. Sherei Kfar Nemar, Be'asar, and Yirmiyot says, Lutet. On the 7th. In the Poskim Malachim Beis. Hakeit said, how do we reconcile this contradiction? B'Shiva Nichnesu Zorim Lehechal. The Goyim entered the Beis HaMikdash on the 7th of Av. The Achlu. And they had a feast. The Kilkelu Bo. And they had different kinds of immoral actions. And that took place over a period of 2 days, Bishvi Bishmini. And at the end of the Shmini, towards nighttime, Chi Samach Lechashecha. No, wait, Kilkelu Bo, let's go over again. Bishvi Bishmini, and part of Chi. It's a little bit of a push, but we have to say so because it says, Uchi Samach Lemincha Lechashecha, towards the end of the day of the ninth, he Tzitzu Basa'or, that's where they lit the Beis HaMikdash. Hayadolik V'olakol Yom Kulo, and it continued burning all of the 10th day. And we're going to soon see that some of the Amoraim were of the opinion that we should be fasting on the 10th of Av, because that's when the main burning destruction of the Beis HaMikdash took place. Shenemar, now back to the Nevuah of Yirmiyah on the Churban Yerushalayim, it says, Oy lanu ki fana hayom, at the end of the day, liyes erev, ki intu tzlole tzilele erev. That's when they burnt the Beis HaMikdash. V'ayidu dom Rabbi Yochanan, that's the statement of Yochanan, l'moli yisib yosedar, if I was alive at the time of the Churban Bayis, when they set up at Tzom, a fast day, lo kavativ, I would not have established it on the 9th of Av, but rather Ella, and the Gemara now wants to clarify, so why did the Chachamim of that generation set up and determine that Tisha B'Av as a fast they should be on the 9th of Av rather than the 10th of Av? Aschalta to Paranusa Difa. The beginning of Paranios is more severe than the end of the Paranios. The Ikar is Aschola, because that's really when the fire was in potential enough to burn the entire Beis HaMikdash. That started on the 9th of Av, and if on the 9th of Av, when the Beis HaMikdash began to be burnt down, that's when they established the Tainus. Now the Mishnah says, Ubishnia, that in the case of the second Beis HaMikdash, likewise, the destruction took place on the 9th of Av, Minola. And the Gemara answers this time, you learned in a brisa, Megalgalin Schus Liyom Zakai, and Chova Liyom Chayav. So even the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed on Tisha B'Av because of this principle of Chova Liyom Chayav. A day that's designated for evil, for destruction, that on that day it was determined by HaKadosh Baruch Hu that our forefathers would not enter into the land of Israel following the fiasco of the Meraglim. On that very day, the 9th of Av, the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. And therefore it makes sense that the second Beis HaMikdash was likewise destroyed on the 9th of Av. Amru, the Chacham said, Kishachara Beis HaMikdash Bishona, when the Mikdash was destroyed on the first Beis HaMikdash, Oso Hayom, Erev Tisha B'Av Haya. In other words, Erev Tisha B'Av means at the end of Tisha B'Av, towards the evening. It was Motzoi Shabbos Haya. It was actually after Shabbos. And not only that, Motzoi Shvius Haya, it was after Shemitah, entering into the eighth year. U'mishmarta Shel Yehoyariv Haya. And which Mishmeres was working on that day in the Beis HaMikdash? It was Yehoyariv. Ve'alevim. So we know the Kohanim would divide up into 24 Mishmaros. Each Mishmeres got a full week in the Beis HaMikdash times two, dividing the year into half. Ha'levim ayu omrim shira. At the time of the Churban, the Levim were actually singing their songs. Ve'omdim al duchanam. There was a place that was like an itzdaba, and that's where they stood in order to sing their songs. Umashira hayu omrim. What songs would they sing at the time of the Churban? And the Gemara invokes a pasuk in Tehillim. Vayoshev aleihem es onan ubara'osam yatzmisem. Okay, let's just read the English translation of that pasuk. He says that, and he, God, turned upon them from their own violence, and with their own evil, he will cut them off. In the footnote, he says, this psalm was chanted as a song for Yom Revi, for Wednesday service, not Sunday, and this on a Sunday. But Ashkocha had it, that this verse, the sins of the Jews caused God to punish them severely, would come out of the mouths of the Levim at that particular time, even though it was a Sunday. For Los Piku Lomar, they didn't get a chance to read the end of the pasuk, Yatzmisem Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem our God will cut them off, Achebo Nochrim Ukvashu, until the Goyim came in and conquered them, V'chein V'shnia. And the same thing happened during the Churban Bayis Shnia. Now on Tisha B'Av, the Mishnah says, Nilkedah Beitar, the city of Beitar was conquered. Minolan, how do we know this? And the Gemara answers, Gemara. Once again, it's a Kabbalah that the conquering of the city of Beitar and its destruction in the hands of the Romans, which was 52 years after the Churban Bayis Sheni, that took place on Tisha B'Av.
Person, I just realized, did you want to record this?
Ah, yeah, I wanted. It's too late, right?
I don't think it's on. I don't think it's been recorded.
So we're here on Daf Chav Tes, and the Mishnah had established that on the 9th of Av, Nechresha Ha'ir, which means that after the Churban Bayis Sheni took place, the Goyim came in and they did a Harisha on Yerushalayim. And Yerushalayim was plowed through like a Sodeh Harusha. And this is based on a pasuk in Micha and Novi. It says, Tzion Sodeh Techoresh. And once again, Chazal had a Kabbalah, as we saw before, that this event took place on that day that was designated for evil, and that's the ninth of Av. We saw that about Milkadah Beitar and about the Churban Bayis Sheni. Tanya, we learned in a Braisa, Kishacharash Turnarufis Harasha Esahechal. When this person, he says in the footnote that after Titus in the second bias destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, then he left Yerushalayim to the hands of the Sar Tzava, of the head of the army. His name was Turnarufis. And in fact, his name is mentioned in Josephus. And later on, a few years later, after the Churban, when Turnarufis saw that Bnei Yisrael were sort of getting back a little bit of their courage, and they were of the opinion that very quickly they would go back to where they were before, then he decided at this point he's going to plow the entire city of Yerushalayim and the area of the Migdash to show that this is irreversible. That the Malchus, the Roman kingship, has decided that the Jewish people would never be returned to their original state. And he began to attack the Beis HaNasiim. And his decision to plow the city of Yerushalayim was on Tisha B'Av, on the day of the Churban HaBayis. And he plowed the entire city. Nigzera gzera al Rav Gamliel hazaken la'riga. And the decree was that Rav Gamliel hazaken would be murdered. Ba Adon Echad, one of the officers in the Roman kingship, came along. The Omed v'Beis HaMedrash v'Yomar, he stood in the Beis HaMedrash, he says, Bala Chotem Misbakesh. And the word Chotem here, which usually means a seal, let me just see what he says here. So the word chotem is a seal, is with a tough. Here it's with a tes. And chotem with a tes means a nose. Apparently he had a prominent nose. And he's wanted for execution. So this was an allusion to Rav Gamliel that he should be warned that he's going to be arrested and executed. So he said in an illusion so that they shouldn't recognize him, the Anshei HaMelech. Now, he has a note here in which he says that he could not warn Rav Gamliel openly because of the imperial agents. In other words, they wanted Rav Gamliel to be executed, and to warn him would be a violation. So he spoke of a man with a prominent nose, and Rav Gamliel understood that this was an allusion to himself. He was prominent, an imposing appearance. It could be that this was a symbolic statement that he had a prominent nose, he was a great sage of the generation. Shoma Rav Gamliel, he understood that it was a reference to himself, Ozal Tosha Minayu. Tosha means he hid himself. Ozal Gabe Bitsina. That Tsar, who had warned Rav Gamliel, went clandestinely to Rav Gamliel, V'yomale imatzil nalach, if I save you from destruction, my sina li li'alma diyasi, will you bring me along with you to the world to come? Amalei hein, Rav Gamliel said to this Tsar, yes. Amalei, the Sar said, Ishtaba, I want a Shmua. Ishtabali, he took a Shmua. Solik le Igra, Nafal Umis. That officer climbed up to the roof, threw himself off the roof, and died. Ugmiri, and the Romans had a certain mesora, so to speak, that the chigazri gzeirota umischad minayu mevatel gzeirasa. That if they issue a decree to execute someone, and one of their yachts and one of their councils, members of the council, would die, then they would cancel the gzeira. She's back?
She's coming, Hirsch.
All right. So I'm coming. I'm coming right away. Shesvurim she'ir lahem zos b'shvil she'gozru dover ra. This was like an omen. If one of their officers died, that their gzeira was not the right gzeira. So that's why that Tsar killed himself, and he knew that as a result, they would cancel the gzeira of the executioner of Gamaliel. Yotze Baskel v'yomra, and the Baskel came out and declared Adon Zeh Mizuman Lechaye Olam Habba.
Recording stop.
Tana Rabbana, we learned in a brisa, Mishacharev HaBayis B'Rishona. After the Churban Bayis Rishon, is Kabtu Kitos Shel Pirchei Kohuna. Groups of the young Kohanim, young men, gathered together. U'meftechos HaHechal B'yodim, and they were holding on to the keys to the Hechal. It's all based on Yirmiyahu HaNavi. V'olu L'gag HaHechal, they climbed up to the roof. Omer L'fanav, they declared into the Ribbono Shel Olam. We did not merit to be the right gizbarim, those who were in charge of protecting the Beis Hamikdash, and now you're destroying him. Yeah, you maftechos mesuris lecha. We're returning the keys to you. Uzrakum klape mala, and they threw them towards the heavens. And if we didn't take good care of the Beis Hamikdash, we are returning the keys to you, God. And they threw him up to the heavens. V'yotza ke'ein pisas yad. Sort of like a hand came out of the heavens. And kiblasam ha'am. And it grabbed on to the keys. Heim kofzu v'naflu tocha ur. And they jumped into the flames. And they died. They perished. The Marsha explains that the Medrash says that Yidei ha'oivim lo sholtu b'shari ha'echal. It says Tovu ba'aretz sharem. So the sharem of the ha'echal were not destroyed. And therefore the Kohanim threw the keys to the Maftechos, the keys of the Sha'arim L'Shamayim. And all this was so that the Oivim symbolically should not be sholeit on the Beis HaMikdash. Amru Kohanim Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Arata, until now, Shmiras HaMikdash Haisa Mutel Solenu, we were the caretakers of the Beis HaMikdash Ho'il, V'lo Ayinu Gizbarim Ne'monim, Lo Ola B'yodenu Limnoa, Me'as Sitra Achra, Likanes L'Mikdash, Shemar atal amigdosh mikan vielich vizarku amaftechos lasos dimyon befall udivrem kedeshis kaimu. As the Ramban teaches us a principle in Parshas Lech Lecha, he says that in all gzeres elyon we have to do a poel, a maisa down here that will clinch and guarantee that the gzera of a Kadosh Baruch Hu will come to pass. Yotze Yad v'kiblas maftechos lahoros shehiskim HaKadosh Baruch Hu yonam. Almighty God agreed shehu, that he himself, the capital H, will yishmar al amigdash. V'cheid yelosid lavo shenemar Zecharia Novi says v'ani eyela nu'um Hashem chomas eish saviv. And the gizbarim who are memunim, they're the caretakers, Zarkuas Hamaftechos Kadesh lo Yikhama Oivim Viechalu Hegdesh Koftsu Liachamikali Eshalo Yachrichum Ha'oivim Legalos Mokom Gnizas Momena Hegdesh. And the question that the Marsha asks is Ketzad Hutar Lem La Abid Atzma Ladas. What was the matir for suicide? And the Marsha seems to assume that they did it Mirov Tsa'aram. There was not a calculated halachic decision. However, the Shmos Yaakov says, Osu zos mishum tshuva, that's not considered ma'abed atzma l'das, it's done for the purpose of tshuva. Aleim konen Yeshayahu Anovi recites a kina on the loss of these Pirchei Kahuna, these young Kohanim. He laments their loss. Maso Ge Chizoyim. Chizoyim is a prophecy. And Maso Ge. Ge is a valley. Malacha Efo Kiolis Kulach Legagos. What happened to you now? Again, the valley of vision. That you have all ascended to the rooftops. Chuos Malea Ir Homia Kirya Aliza Chalalayach Lo Chalali Cherev Velo Mesei Milchama. In the past, you were filled with commotion, a joyous city. Your slain are not victims of the sword or casualties of war. Now in Yeshayahu Anavi, the valley of vision, which is called here by Yeshayahu, is called Masa Ge Chizayon, because it's a reference to Yerushalayim. All eyes are focused on Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is a valley subject to most prophetic visions. The verse is understood as alluding to the young Kohanim who are not slain in battle, but who ascended the temple roof and jumped into the flames and died. Afakadosh Baruch Hu, Bakadosh Baruch Hu Nemar, it says with regard to Almighty God, Mekarkar Kir Veshoa El Hehar, he wails and laments concerning the mountain of Tzion. Ki yom mehuma umevusa umevucha ladunei elokim svakos begeichi zoyim mekarker kir v'shoa elahar. It's a day of upheaval, trampling, and confusion. From the God, the Lord of hosts, in the valley of vision, tearing down the wall, and the refugees shouting in flight to the mountain. So the Nevuah Yerushalayim is gay. Emek, Shakol Mistaklimbo is a vision. Everyone has a vision of this city. Now, why is it called a gay if it's a mountain? Yerushalayim is on a mountain. And the answer is that the Oivim Ishpilu, they lowered it down, so to speak, in a figurative sense, because of the sins of Jerusalem. And now he wails over the fact that why is that the Kohanim are up on the gagos, on the rooftops? Hello, es ir malas chuos kolos adam omia roshos haliza. It's a happy city, a rejoicing city. And now the Kohanim climbed up to the roof of the Heichal because of the Oivim. They did not die at the sword of the enemies, but rather by jumping into the fire. Afakadosh Baruch Hu Nemar Mekarker Kir V'Shoel Ahar Miyalil Ha'odon Hashem U'Mekonein V'Zoik Bishvil Hartzion Sheshomem. And that leads us to the Mishnah Mishanithnas Av Mati B'Simcha Rabbi Yehuda B'Reid Rabbi Shmuel Bar Shilat. Shilat is Rashi Teva Shivisi Hashem L'Neg Disomim Mishmei D'Rav Kishem Shemishanithnas Av Mematim b'simcha, because of the evil that befell the Jewish people during the month of Av, we diminish our simcha. So too, kach, mishenichnas Adar marvim b'simcha. Adar is a happy tiding, a happy month. These are days of miracles for Israel, starting with Purim, of course, and leading to Pesach in the next month. And therefore, marvim b'simcha. We increase our simcha. Hilkach, therefore, on the top of Chavtasim and Beis, Amar Papa, since we're marvim b'simcha during Adar, and we're memayit b'simcha during Av, Hilkach, Bar Yisrael Dislay Dina Ba'adi Nochri, if a Jew has some sort of litigation with a guy, and it's going to take place in their courts, Lishtamit Minei, to try to avoid Av, and Daria Mazli, because it has a bad mazel for Klal Yisrael, Limtse Nafshe, and show up in court, if he can, organize it that way, Be'ador, during the month of Adar, Debarye Mazole. The mazel during Adar for Israel is very strong, and that's going to guarantee that they succeed in this judgment. So this is where we'll stop on the top of Chavtes Amid Beis.
Okay, Shkaya.
Recording stopped.